Welcome to your deep dive. Today, we're taking a bit of a shortcut to knowledge, really questioning the foundations of how we think about truth, logic, even complexity itself.
Yeah, we're looking at the architecture, you could say, how we build our understanding.
And trying to find maybe where the blueprints are a little bit shaky.
That's a good way to put it. The source material we've looked at, it really challenges the usual way of thinking, the rigidity you find in formal logic and maths.
Okay.
Suggests that things like intuitionism and fuzzy logic aren't just, you know, niche ideas. They're actually essential, necessary tools even, for dealing with a world that's full of subjectivity and uncertainty.
Which it definitely is.
Right. So the mission here is to understand how embracing that ambiguity, like really leaning into it, merging opposites that formal logic says, no, keep those separate, how that actually leads to a deeper understanding, a simpler, more useful kind of knowledge.
Simpler. That's interesting.
Yeah, the sources call it realizing subtle novelty.
Subtle novelty. Okay, I like that. It sounds like finding elegance by refining, not just adding more stuff on top.
Precisely.
All right, let's unpack this then. We're basically setting up two ways of looking at knowledge here. The old school, formal logic way versus this more inclusive intuitionism path.
Yeah, and most people, when they hear logic, they think of that traditional formal logic, Boolean. Discrete.
Yeah.
It works by excluding things, by subtraction.
Right? It stands on those three big pillars. First one's identity. A is A.
You know,
simple enough.
Then you have non-contradiction. A can't be not B at the same time.
Makes sense.
And the third one, this is the one that causes friction sometimes. The law of the excluded middle.
Ah, yes. A is either B or it's not B. No gray area, no maybe.
Exactly. Like a light switch, as you said earlier. It's on or it's off.
Yes.
That's the goal. Absolute clear-cut boundaries.
But the sources argue that this very insistence on hard boundaries, that's where it kind of falls short in the real world.
That's the core critique, yeah. It's fascinating. Because formal logic chases absolute truth by always excluding, it ends up creating what the material calls an implicit rivalry.
A rivalry between ideas.
Between ideas, between fields of knowledge, yeah. It fosters this adversarial trend of theorizing. You see it, right? People develop super complex jargon, almost like a code, partly just to mark their territory as distinct from others.
Oh, definitely. Academia, public debates. If your whole system is about saying not that, you spend a lot of energy attacking other positions instead of just building yours.
Exactly. And the research points out this approach, aiming for that absolute unchanging truth, it leads to what's termed the arrogant flaw.
Arrogant flaw, how so?
Well, if you only deal in sharp, discrete boundaries, you end up having to use tactics like straw man arguments or false dilemmas. You basically have to pretend uncertainty or subjectivity just don't exist to keep your logical lines clean.
You ignore the fuzzy bits.
You have to. Which isn't very realistic, is it?
Not really. So, okay, if formal logic can lead down that path, what's the alternative? Where does intuitionism take us? Is it just feeling your way through?
It's not about random feelings, no. It's presented as the necessary counterbalance to that arrogance. It's about making bets on what the source calls intuitive relational adventures.
Relational adventures. I like the sound of that.
Right. And these adventures, they're described as being more falsifiable, but also more difficult to measure.
Wait, hang on. More falsifiable isn't that bad if we want solid knowledge. Why prioritize something easier to prove wrong?
It seems counterintuitive, but think about it. That very falsifiability, it forces you to constantly check your fundamental assumptions. It keeps you honest about the foundations.
Ah, okay. So it's not about being flimsy. It's about being rigorously self-critical at the deepest level.
Exactly. And the source argues real novelty, that subtle novelty we mentioned, doesn't come from just piling on more complexity. It comes from simplifying the experiences we already have, the ones we interact with all the time.
So refining relationships, not just adding data points.
Yes, it's this involutive dynamic, like folding complexity back in on itself to find the elegant core. We integrate new stuff by simplifying, by minimizing redundant connections we've already made, pruning the noise to hear the signal better.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Simplifying the connections. And this shift, moving away from rigid exclusion towards a more radical inclusion, that leads us straight into fuzzy logic, doesn't it?
It does. If formal logic is all about exclusion, A or B, fuzzy logic embraces inclusion, often using AND, using addition. The sources state it pretty clearly. A more realistic logic truth can only be intuitionistic continuous.
Continuous. That feels like the key word there. Can you give us a practical feel for fuzzy logic? Beyond math, what does it look like day to day?
Think about things that aren't just on-off. Temperature isn't just hot or cold, right? There are degrees.
Sure. Warm, cool, lukewarm.
Exactly. Or think about grades in school. Formal logic might just say pass-fail, A or F.
Very binary.
But a fuzzy system recognizes the B plus A, the C, the whole spectrum. It acknowledges that the transition between states is usually smooth, continuous, not a sudden jump.
Right.
And the source material argues this isn't just a possible logic. It's the only possible formal logic that truly reflects reality, because it inherently builds in uncertainty and subjectivity.
And it goes even further, saying reality kind of needs to be fuzzy. Why is that? Why does the universe need wiggle room?
This is a really profound point they make. Reality has to be fuzzy, the argument goes, because for the whole system to remain stable, any observer within it must carry some uncertainty in their observation.
So if I could know something with absolute perfect certainty,
you could potentially destabilize the whole thing, perhaps without even trying. Think about it. Quantum mechanics hints at this too. Uncertainty isn't a flaw in the system. It's a feature that ensures resilience. My fuzziness protects the whole.
Wow. So my own subjective limits, my inability to know everything perfectly, actually helps keep the universe stable. That's quite a thought.
Isn't it? And it ties directly into this push for a more holistic view, what the sources call a confluentist, more integrative perspective. The idea that ultimately everything can be correlated with everything else.
No truly isolated facts.
Right. The end goal is described as a holistic experience.
Mm-hmm.
And achieving that means you must include your own subjectivity, your own uncertainty, as part of the observation itself, not trying to filter it out.
So stop pretending to be a perfectly objective, detached observer, because that's impossible and maybe even undesirable.
Exactly. We move from chasing discrete points of supposed absolute truth towards understanding the continuous flow, the connections between things.
And this applies even to things like energy and space.
Yes. The idea is that to integrate something new, some novelty, we often need to optimize the energy we're already using. That means simplifying or involuting relationships that are redundant or taking up too much space.
Mm.
We're always looking for the most elegant, minimal way to structure those connections while still being inclusive.
Okay, so if reality is continuous, our definitions need to be continuous too. That brings us right back down to language, doesn't it? How we use words.
Absolutely. If boundaries are fluid, then our habit of defining words as fixed, mutually exclusive boxes just doesn't work anymore. Especially when it comes to concepts that seem like opposites.
Which leads us to, I think, one of the most practical tools suggested in all this, the key pair.
Yes, the key pair. It's defined simply as a meaningful, formalized relationship between two words, a way to map the space between concepts.
And there are specific types.
Two main ones are highlighted. First, you have polar key pairs. This is where you deliberately conjunct or join two words that seem like total opposites, antonyms.
Like hot and cold.
Exactly. Or love and hate. The second type is soulmate key pairs. These are concepts that are deeply complementary, maybe like half synonym, half antonym. They fit together naturally.
But the focus seems really strong on the polar ones, the joined opposites. Why put so much emphasis on mashing antonyms together?
Because, as the source says, they bring an intense middle. Formal logic forces you apart. Conjuncting opposites creates this incredibly rich semantic space between them.
Okay, give me an example.
The classic one used is idealism versus materialism. Formal logic says pick one, they're incompatible.
Right, mutually exclusive.
But if you create the key pair idealist-materialism, you haven't created nonsense. You've actually created a new, richer concept, one that acknowledges the whole spectrum, the total possible rational length between those two poles. It's deeper than either word on its own.
Now, formal logic does have a word for these kinds of combinations, oxymorons, things like deafening silence or bittersweet. But the source material really pushes back against that term, calls it a bully naming. That's strong language. Why?
Because labeling something an oxymoron is basically a way to shut down discussion. It's an argument from authority. That's illogical, you can't say that. Or even an appeal to pity for poor, violated logic.
So it enforces exclusion just by naming it negatively.
Precisely. The source argues the way out is simple. Just accept these conjunctions of antonyms not as errors, but as valid sources of meaning, as representations of that total rational length.
So idealist materialism isn't a mistake. It's a map of the entire space between pure idealism and pure materialism, including that vast, interesting middle ground.
You got it. These oppositional key pairs are crucial because they give us the deepest definitions. They let us explore the infinite possibilities within the most minimal set, just two opposing words. It formalizes the spectrum.
Okay, I see the power there. It turns contradictions from forbidden zones into the most fertile ground.
Which is why the source suggests this is the pathway to building much better, more formal, more useful thesauruses and encyclopedias, ones that reflect continuous reality, not just discrete boxes.
This really does sound like a fundamental rethink of how we organize knowledge. So, stepping back, what's the practical upshot? How do we actually use this fuzzy relational key pair idea?
Well, the proposal is pretty radical. It suggests we need to move away from our current systems for managing language, things like Wikipedia, Wiktionary, traditional dictionaries.
Why? What's wrong with them?
Because they're built on that old, rigid, formal logic foundation. They struggle immensely with polysemy, the basic fact that most words have multiple meanings depending on context.
Yeah, defining words is hard.
And the ultimate goal, according to the source, should be prescriptivity.
Meaning?
Meaning the best descriptions, the best definitions are the ones that are prescriptive. They don't just describe a concept abstractly, they link it to practice. They suggest actions, maybe even habits or rewards, ideally published through interactive apps. A definition should tell you what to do or how to relate to something.
Okay, so current platforms fail at this. You mentioned polysemy. What else?
They fail on three key points, really. One, they can't properly handle multiple definitions simultaneously. They can't let users easily define, rate, and redefine words in a fluid way. Polysemy should be mandatory, not an edge case. Two, they fundamentally cannot conjunct two words to create a single formal item like a key pair. The structure doesn't allow it.
They keep concepts separate.
And three, crucially, they don't let users create their own ways of rating relationships between words. It's all top-down moderation. They lack the ability for crowdsourced custom relational raters.
So the vision is more bottom-up, decentralized, maybe gamified.
Exactly. A custom semantic categorization system where users define words, merge them using key pairs, and create their own rating systems, what the source calls meta-raters, to evaluate those connections.
Which embraces that subjectivity we talked about earlier instead of trying to eliminate it.
It forces us to confront it. Because every statement anyone makes, every definition, is only ever a partial perspective. It inevitably hides or minimizes certain polarities.
My viewpoint leaves things out.
Always. We need tools, like key pairs, to help us see and consciously fill in those minimized aspects. The research even tries to quantify it, estimating that our subjective perspective, our bias, our intention before we even observe, might account for roughly 25% of perception itself, another 25% of how we see polarity, leaving a huge 50% just unknown.
Wow, so nearly half of what we perceive is shaped by our internal state and the polarities we choose to focus on or ignore.
That's the estimation. So our subjectivity isn't noise to be filtered out. It's a fundamental input. We have to account for it, integrate it, if we actually want a clearer, more continuous, more holistic understanding of truth.
It flips the script. Formal logic tries to pretend the observer isn't there or doesn't matter.
Well, the intuition is passed as the observer is not only unavoidable, but essential for the whole system's stability and for finding that subtle novelty.
Okay. So, wrapping this up, we've seen that this deeper understanding doesn't necessarily come from adding more and more complexity, but often from simplification, from refinement, and crucially, from inclusion.
Yeah, radical inclusion.
The path forward seems to lie in trusting intuition more, accepting uncertainty as a feature, not a bug, and having the courage to merge concepts that formal logic told us to keep strictly separate. Those key pairs, especially the oppositional ones.
And think about the almost magical operation happening there with the key pair. It's like, in math, multiplying two negative numbers gives you a positive result.
Right.
By conjuncting these apparent antagonists, these opposites, we're generating a deeper, more positive, more expansive meaning. That shift from formal logic subtraction and exclusion to fuzzy logic's addition and inclusion, that really feels like the core leap towards generating that subtle novelty.
And the sources push this idea of relating concepts back to fundamental analogies, mentioning the core binary of love and death. Love is even described as maybe the most intense word because it has the capacity to define or contain the intensity of so many other words.
It's a powerful anchor point. So given that framework that merging opposites unlocks the deepest meaning, the widest space for understanding, we want to leave you, the listener, with a final thought to chew on.
Okay, let's hear it.
If the most intense opposition brings the most profound definition, what is the most antagonistic yet ultimately most meaningful key pair you can define for yourself right now? Think about merging those two concepts, and then consider the infinite potential, the vast new landscape of understanding. That opens up right there in the middle in that very space that formal logic always told you was forbidden territory. Well, conversely, it suggests using fuzzy Y logical laws for purer maths enforcements. The idea is that this approach will lead to stronger fundamentals and clearer fractality and holism.
Okay, so fuzzy logic leads to clearer holism. That sounds a bit counterintuitive.
It does, but the document suggests that a more intuitive, fuzzy approach actually opens the door to understanding these really complex holistic systems better. It even has this term, clear holist intensinimity.
Intensinimity.
Yeah, it seems to mean the inherent, integrated, sort of self-organizing nature of holistic systems. And it connects us to concepts we might recognize, like fractal, scale, vector, matrix, tensor.
Ah, yeah.
So these aren't just abstract math terms. They're seen as the tools, the language, for understanding how these holistic systems organize themselves and, you know, express themselves across different scales.
Got it. So the big takeaway from this whole mathy logic section isn't just like a new filing system for thinking.
No.
It's a direct challenge to the bedrock of how we usually do science, suggesting our hunt for absolute truth might actually blind us to how things are really connected. It's pushing us to rethink how our logic shapes the kinds of truths we can even find.
Exactly. It's fundamental.